Sally sells seashells by the seashore.
What? Sally sells seashells by the shore.
Seashells all by about the seashore. Seashore. Exactly.
Sally sells.
It's all about articulating.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Already fucked up.
Welcome, listeners.
That was a good start.
Yeah. Welcome to the Know What I'm Saying podcast with your hosts, Mark and Connor.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
Bro, this today, my parents, they have a Japanese toilet. You know what that is? It's one of those toilets that have like heat warmers and they spray water on your ass.
One of those electric ones, yeah.
Exactly, the high-tech ones. And my parents are moving.
Yeah, and they want to take it with them.
No, I asked them, I was like, hey.
Can I have it in Munich?
I asked them, are you going to have this Japanese toilet? Are you going to have one at the new place that you're getting? And then my dad was like, it's not there yet, but you can bet your ass we're getting one. We're going to get two. We're going to get both bathrooms, bro. He loves it. He's like, no way I'm downgrading from the Japanese toilet to a normal toilet. He's like, I'm not downgrading.
Oh, my God.
And then my mom's like, we don't even know if it works with the electricity. I was like, I don't care, bro.
I'll get a generator.
Breaking over the walls, and I'm making it happen.
Oh, no.
I found it hilarious.
Yeah, I've never been on one. The idea of water squirting blum into my behind is a bit weird to me. I don't know. It just disturbs me slightly. I think the heated seat could be very nice, but everything else is a bit weird.
I mean, the first time I tried it out, we were on vacation at this hotel and they had a Japanese toilets, and the first time I tried it out, I almost jumped from the toilet seat. I was like, oh!
What is this?
It definitely takes some getting used to, but okay, enough about toilet talk. It's a little odd. Bro, Super Bowl weekend.
Yeah,
boring. It was last Sunday night.
I found it so boring.
You watched the game though, yeah? You found it boring?
I found that the problem was it wasn't like Chiefs were getting overrun completely, but I just had, because of all of the fouls and whatnot, Chiefs were like, I just never had the feeling, oh, they're coming back, they're getting into this again. It's just every time, just they tried something, it didn't work, and then Tom Brady came back on and they just made another touchdown. That's how it felt for me, at least.
I mean, it definitely wasn't. I mean, I think if you compare it to the Super Bowl where like the Patriots made a huge comeback against the Atlanta Falcons, you know, or like the Patriots versus Seahawks as well, when it was like the like goal line interception the last second, right, for the game winning touchdown and got intercepted. Like, those are pretty intense Super Bowls. I compared the Super Bowl to the one where, I think it was 2 years ago, the one that we watched together.
Yeah, where we fell asleep.
It was like Patriots against the, I can't remember. Do you remember who they played versus?
No.
But whatever, at the end of the game, after like 4 hours of watching, there was like 3-0 or 6-0. Yeah, there were like two field goals or one field goal, and it was so boring. So I was definitely happy to see a few touchdowns this Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I just hope that, I don't know, Mahomes was able to maybe do one or two touchdowns to make it a bit more interesting to the end, but it just didn't happen. So
I find it a little unfortunate because Mahomes, he's 25 years old. He is so good.
He's really good.
So athletic. I mean, there were some passes.
That one pass where he was almost like level to the ground, falling, and he's still
and he threw
out
it,
of his arm.
And the receiver didn't catch it. What I'm trying to say is Mahomes did so good, bro. He was always like, his O-line was so bad in protecting him.
Yeah.
And there were so many times where he was able to break tackles and kind of juke people out, and he ran some yards.
To be honest, I think Mahomes wasn't the biggest problem. I think there's a lot bigger problems in their overall in their team, offensively especially, which he just couldn't control. I mean, a lot of people would say, okay, great quarterback like Tom Brady would make it happen and would be able to make changes that help them win. But I think there's a lot of things that happened he couldn't control.
I mean, you can't win a Super Bowl with just one player. It's the whole team. It's a team effort.
Definitely.
I find it very unfortunate that there were so many balls that typically in the NFL you would expect to be caught, especially by the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And you can imagine the frustration that Mahomes must have been going through. But he did win the Super Bowl last year. And he's only 25, man.
I don't know. How many has he? I think he's played 4 and won 2. I could be off then completely.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But also, you're going against the GOAT, Tom Brady. I mean, you got to respect Tom Brady. That was an amazing performance, dude. And especially people have been saying that he should retire for years. And then people were, oh, and then after he left the Patriots, he's like, oh yeah, it was just Brady and or it was just Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Belichick, the greatest coach of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Brady going to Florida. He's 43 years old right now.
Yeah.
No way he's going to bring the Tampa Bay Floridas that have been to the Super Bowl one time in their entire existence. They won 18 years ago the last time. No way Tom Brady's going to bring them to the Super Bowl. What does he do? Without Belichick.
Yeah.
Brings Rob Gronkowski with him from the Patriots.
I love how he also Antonio had two Brown. Touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
It was crazy. I mean, that dynamic is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Gronk is really, he's funny. He's just funny.
He's like a frat boy.
Yeah, he's never left that stage. He's
just... But anyways, so there's a Super Bowl to watch, but a lot of reasons why people tune into the Super Bowl is also the halftime show.
Yeah.
Right?
Super Bowl is very commercial.
Exactly.
Different to the German League Cup, for example. I remember when I went for Frankfurt, The moment they tried to do like a halftime show, they did it with Helene Fischer.
Oh, no.
I had like a 60-year-old woman standing in front of me, whistling and having her middle fingers up throughout the whole halftime show, because she was just like, nah, I don't want any commercialization of like football. Like, they're already making enough money. I don't want them to make like this whole theater thing, show thing about around football. So she was really mad. But nice. Like,
I mean, I personally enjoy the Super Bowl halftime shows, but of course,
when you have like I don't mind.
I mean, I think it just depends who they bring on, You know? And if you got like a German singer who is great, but sings the only song, like one song every time.
Yeah.
Time loves. It's kind of like, okay, it gets a little old.
But I mean, that's a Super Bowl, at least nowadays. It's like, it's a big thing, and it's not just the halftime show. In everything around it, like every sports channel, whatnot, they have like special programs and special shows that lead up to the Super Bowl, and it's just this whole big thing.
And don't forget the experience behind it, bro. Just watching the Super Bowl, the whole thing that goes around watching the Super Bowl, bro. People have Super Bowl parties.
I know.
All the barbecue chicken wings and burgers and hot dog. Of course, following the Corona regulations.
Yeah.
There were like 25,000 people in the stadium on Super Bowl. I mean,
that's I came down. My dad already turned on the TV, and I came down and I saw the stadium. I was like, Where's this again in the country? Like, which country is this? How does this work with
Florida,
Corona?
Man, Florida. It's also a Republican state, man. Trump got all the vaccinations and stuff. So,
you know what I also heard? Do you see the cardboard cutouts like they put in the stadium, and instead of like where there's free seats at, like these cutouts?
Yeah, but like, to make people stay in their seats and not.
You know how much? No. But they let them. People were able to print their faces or their body onto it.
Oh.
And do you know how much we had to pay to get that print? $100.
Per cardboard cutout?
Yeah, so if you wanted a cardboard cutout in a seat where no one was allowed to sit because of COVID, with your face on it, you paid $100.
What the heck?
And there's like a few thousand seats that were empty, and they were all filled with these cardboard cutouts. And I'm like, I hope they use that money wisely or kind of for charity, because in my opinion, that was such a big ripoff, but yeah.
Nah, I mean, but like, you know, so you got the Super Bowl, it's not just the game, the halftime show, but I think also the whole idea of people coming together, watching the game, you know, Sunday night, wherever you are in America, it's always a fun tradition, tailgating, you know. Taking your pickup truck to a parking lot with your friends and grilling hamburgers and throwing a football, drinking some beers and listening to the Super Bowl on the radio. I mean, it's a simple life, but that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think sport consumption, especially football, is generally different to American football, to football, like soccer. Because soccer is somewhat quick. You have 45 minutes, two halves. You have a 50-minute break in between. And these 45 minutes are just straight through, like, football. And once that's done, then it's over. An American football game is way longer, has way more breaks. So there's a lot more that is allowed to happen or has time to happen. During football, it's, like, really compressed and just, like, crazy time for, like, 1.5 hours. And then it's done, everybody goes home with football. It's, like, this long thing. Yeah. It's just a different type of sports consumption, but it's definitely fun as well.
I mean, I love football. I love it.
Yeah.
But so what's also like what's often talked about after the Super Bowl is the halftime performance, because typically the artists will always try and convey a certain message through their performance. You know, if you had, for example, Beyonce, I think it was last year or 2 years ago, she was delivering a message about like Black lives and women empowerment and all that, you know.
And I think,
so this year, this weekend performed. I found it a nice performance. There were a lot of, the memes were all funny about it. The memes were hilarious.
Yeah, definitely.
But I found the whole performance great, and he's an amazing singer, and his songs are just awesome. And
I'm not the biggest Weeknd fan, but I can definitely appreciate that he's a good singer and he makes good songs.
So here's the thing. When I was watching the show, there was a lot of stuff, a lot of statues and different changes of settings, and I was like, okay, this definitely is standing for something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went back and watched it again on YouTube, by the way, 20 million views already.
Really?
Crazy.
That's crazy, true.
I went over it, and you know how The Weeknd posted a few photos where his face was all puffed up and he had bandages for a while, and people were thinking, like, on the internet, oh my god, he turned into Michael Jackson.
All this, like, yeah.
So I did research. There's a whole story behind it. There's a whole narrative, and it's also portrayed in the halftime show performance. Mm-hmm. I found it great. So
does it link to like these singers having like this mask that's white?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, because it seemed like surgically, like as if they had like this big operation.
Okay, so the masks, or, you know, the bandages that were wrapped around The Weeknd's face for quite a while. He also did some live performances. I think he accepted a VMA or some
Could
other
be
award
with, this
with,
over
the,
his
with
face.
The bandages on, and people were like consider about his health, wondering is he doing okay, and oh no, now he looks like Michael Jackson going on the same route or whatever. So he says the significance of the entire head bandages is reflecting on the absurd culture of Hollywood celebrity and people manipulating themselves for superficial reasons to please and be validated. Wow.
I mean, that is
a
good.
What do you think about that?
That is a good message. I just find it difficult. I mean, you have people like, is he still together with one of the Hadids?
No, I don't think so anymore.
Oh, okay. Because
we can't talk about that. That's treacherous waters.
No,
because I know the Hadid fans go hard. I mean, I don't. I'm not sure.
Even the Hadids. Like, but like they're friends with like the Kardashians, and everything they portray is somewhat. It's not bad. Like, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's also not your. Oh yeah, natural presentation of what.
I mean, we don't got to get into the specific details about who in the celebrity world does that kind of stuff. But you know, in the music videos of like "Save Your Tears," his face was super bloated. Mm-hmm. I think kind of to portray those people that will inject stuff, Botox into their face or whatever. And then in "Heartless," the music video was "Heartless" and "Blinding Lights." There, he did the full videos with bandages. So. This whole thing that he was basically calling out the Hollywood world and the Recording Academy. As a result, he was left out of the 2021 Grammys. Did you know that?
I didn't, but I mean, all these award shows are like, all these award shows are manipulated and like.
Yeah, they all have a vendetta behind them, but still, to be left out of the Grammys, that's a pretty big thing. So, of course, The Weeknd wasn't happy. He took to social media and he criticized the Hollywood and entertainment industry. And he says, the Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry transparency. So he also questioned whether his race played a role with him being excluded from the Grammys. You know, as a black artist, he said, if you were like, do you think the Grammys are racist? I think the only real answer is in the last 61 years of the Grammys, only 10 black artists have won Album of the Year. I mean, he's got 3 Grammys, and he also said he doesn't really care about it, really. He just primarily wants to ensure that something like that doesn't happen again, that a black artist gets left out of the Grammys. Now, of course, maybe it was just a vendetta he has against them, because maybe he left out because he literally insulted the entire industry, and then he blames it on the race. But it's also a legitimate
argument. It is difficult because things like that have happened in the past, definitely, so there's a valid reason. It is easy for the Grammys and all the people behind that to say, no, that's not the reason you insulted us for that reason. We left you out. I mean, it's difficult. It could definitely be. I don't know if that's truly the reason, but there, as I said, there has been things in the past that have happened because of race where people have been left out or weren't given the award they were they deserved.
Just, I mean, when you, also when you look at the Super Bowl halftime show, I mean, there was a part, I think, when the song Earned It began to play. I can't speak for all of the musicians that were playing the Super Bowl, but at least definitely in the beginning, they show a scene where of just black violinists, only black males, at the beginning of the Earned It song. And of course, it makes you wonder, all right, so there's the whole situation with the Grammys. And there's also generally the racism problem in America. And there's been a lot of talk about that with police brutality in America. I don't want to get too much into that because that's just it's a topic that does need to be talked about. But I feel like it would make more sense to have a black person point of view here, which we don't have.
Yeah, and I think it's also difficult for us. I mean, you have lived in America, but I've never lived in America. So you only see the things that you see in the news.
Exactly.
So me being white and me not having lived there, I have no basis on talking about. I can only give my point of view what I've seen in the news and heard about. So I've never had any encounterment with anything so even close to the things that have happened over there. So
yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, when you have an artist that takes the opportunity when performing on a platform like the Super Bowl halftime show, where pretty much all of America is watching, and he tries to convey a message that is now regarding the racism, very important in America, but when also talking about the fake Hollywood celebrity beauty standard, and then also attacking certain recording academies, and also like at the end of his performance when they were all in the field, all of his backup dancers had the white bandages on. So once again, to re-express the message that he was trying to give, I found it quite interesting. But at the same time, like, I get that the fake standard for beauty that Hollywood is portraying is completely unrealistic and it is leading to problems. But at the same time, who are you to tell a person what they can and cannot do with their face? You know, personally, I prefer natural beauty, because that's also how we were born. Everyone has a beauty in them, whatever it is. Everyone looks different, but each person has their own specific beauty according to them.
Yeah, I think a big thing with that topic is not, I think there's certain things, even if you're someone who's very, not that confident, you have a slight problem with, let's say, your nose, and you just want it slightly corrected, I don't mind you doing stuff like that. If you really, you feel your confidence is being hurt by that and it affects you throughout your daily life, do whatever you want to do. I think the idea is also with all this fake or this portrayed beauty kind of image people are giving off, is that everybody's starting to look very similar, and there's no difference and there's no variety in what you think is
good looking. And that's the beauty in beauty.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody,
that everyone's individual.
Yeah, to a certain extent, maybe your face is like, I don't know, your nose has like a little curve to the left, but that makes you different to the other person. Everybody's different, and I think that's important. I think that is what I personally think is not that great. I don't mind if you touch up with a few things or wear a bit of makeup. That is your personal preference.
I mean, I think, like, I mean, in a way, you know, when you look at, let's say, lip fillers, let's say 20 years ago, or I don't know how long ago, the equivalent of lip fillers were lipstick, right? People say, oh my God, you're wearing lipstick, why are you not happy with yourself, right? So, I mean, I think if you're doing it for yourself and not for the view that others have of you, then I think it's fine, you know. But you really have to do it for yourself. I don't encourage it, but if you have something that's bothering you and you want to get it done or fixed or touched up on, or you want to work on it, I mean, I'm a victim of it in a way myself. I was always a skinny boy, but I go to the gym now to do that, and it is also rooted through personal motivation. But at the same time, I do enjoy when someone else says, yo, Mark, you're looking bigger.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, I agree. I think it's back to the point I said before. I think it's just when it starts getting like unnatural and you pretty much change your whole look or persona. It doesn't even have to be look. Also, this whole changing who you are just to please everybody. I think at the end of the day,
and not just physically. Also,
yeah, exactly. Like character. Yeah. You change at some point. You just change everything about you, and then you're not yourself anymore. I think that is where I like go, like, come on, you're still, as I said, there has to be variety, and you have to be yourself. You can't change yourself into like this whole other person just because people are not like say things about you or you don't fit into the beauty standards or whatever.
You know what I really like though?
Tell me.
Tell me. Yeah, alright, cool. I'll tell you, Connor. I'll tell you what I really like. What I really like is how the modeling industry has gone in the opposite direction. Typically, those that became models were, say, blonde hair, blue eyes, were fit, you know, skinny. Nowadays, you got plus size models. You got models with skin conditions, right? You got models with like a whole lot of freckles. You got models with different eye colors. You got models of all shapes and sizes, of all races. And they lean into it. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's good. I think it developed over the years. At the beginning, it was a lot. People were criticizing that maybe also just was for publicity to have like a positive image in society. I think now it is getting more accepted or more normal, not even accepted, just normal and the way it should be, that plus size models and all these things, all these people, different people are part of the fashion industry, because fashion at the end of the day, fashion is supposed to appeal to all kinds of people.
Yeah, but they do typically also set the trends. I mean, nowadays, I think influencers play a bigger role in that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends which part of fashion you look at. I mean, high fashion is normally always what starts the trends often, but that you don't see those in the streets like for another 1 or 2 years before it's actually in this just on the catwalks.
Unless like a rapper wears the brand or something. I mean, the power of influence that they have nowadays is crazy, bro. Dude,
yeah,
I'll have friends come up to me, yo, check out this new shoe from Kanye West, the new Yeezys. I'll look at it. I'm like, my mans, if that shoe was not designed by Kanye West, no way you would think about buying it. He's like, no, I swear I would buy it. It's fashion. I'm like, bro, it looks like a dinosaur's foot, man. I don't know. I mean, maybe my fashion sense isn't far enough. You know, maybe I just have, maybe everyone has a different sense of fashion. That's fine. But I really think that there are so many people that would not buy certain products if a certain person did not promote them.
For sure. I think generally there's a lot of things with fashion where people just wear it because it's from a certain brand, or they have seen it from a certain influencer or something, and then they wear it, and then when they look back on it, maybe even they say, ah, it didn't really look that great, I just wore it for that reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really difficult.
Have you fallen into that trap of buying something just because someone famous was wearing it, or it was like kind of a trend?
No, I think sometimes I'd rather even miss out on things I found look good or were cool, but I thought, it's too mainstream or too many influencers have worn it, and I don't want to fall in that trap. So I specifically said,
you won't be different.
I'm not going to buy it, I'll just do something different. And then I look
Connor back. Ain't no mainstream hoe, that's for sure.
No, but yeah, and then I just said, okay, I'll find something different. If I need a new pair of shoes, I'll find something that's more individual to me.
Yeah.
So it never really happened. What about you?
I mean, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeezys or?
No, I've never gotten Yeezys. Never was really interested in getting Yeezys either. I mean, I entered some raffles for Yeezys, but it was for the sole intention of hoping to get some like resale worth. No, I mean, let's say it is. When you see rappers wearing, for example, Air Jordan 1s, I'm a white kid who grew up in a white community in like Wayland, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Right? So I wasn't really exposed to that type of environment or that type of culture. I wasn't exposed to it all too often. Then when I moved to Europe and then went to like international schools and met different cultures and people, I was exposed to a little more. And so, you know, I would see like some people, you know, private school, be wearing Air Jordan 1s, and I was like, damn, those are actually pretty cool shoes. Yeah. And then I'd see, you know, I go to a concert like Made in Tokyo. He'd be wearing the Chicago Air Ones. I'm like, all right, say what you want. That's a nice shoe. And then, you know, Travis comes out with these Air Jordan Ones, and you see the whole hype around it. And you're like, damn.
Yeah. I mean, I think that obviously it's always with trends, and it just, the Air Jordan One fits to the current aesthetic of like streetwear. But it is definitely a cool shoe. I mean, it has been around for so long. And even when it wasn't as hyped, still a lot of people were wearing it.
Yeah.
So I think we're just, at the moment, it's like a big peak. Like, everybody wants them. And it just, they push the resale values as well. So everybody buys them, just not even to wear them, just to resell them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, like, for me personally, like, I got myself a pair of the Air Jordan 1 Travis Scott and the Bloodlines.
Mm-hmm.
And I like those shoes, but to be honest, I'm not 100% sure if I would have gotten the Travis shoes if they weren't from Travis and they didn't get the hype they did. Now that I have them, like, yeah, these are dope-ass shoes. Like, I'm happy I got them. But before buying them, I don't know.
I think I would have got them if I got them for the retail price or not as big of a resale price as they are.
My dad pulled some shoes, he got them for the retail price. Yeah. No way I would spend €1,000 for shoes. No way. I don't have the money for that. No.
I think they are somewhat more special than normal Air Jordan ones because they have some things that are different with like the turnaround swoosh and whatnot, and the colorway is also not a typical colorway for an Air Jordan one. So I do see why they're a bit more special, but definitely not what they go for resale, or at least not in my opinion. Yeah. I wouldn't pay that.
But I gotta say, the one shoe that definitely sticks to close to my heart that I see myself getting every year for the rest of my life is the classic Stan Smith, classic green Stan Smith from Adidas. Those are the shoe I can wear those every day. I can, for everything. If it's like a fresh pair, I could wear it with a suit. I could wear it in the city, and they're so comfortable, and they fit with so many things. So I'll find myself, for example, going months without wearing the Air Jordan ones, but I'll have the Stan Smiths like every day.
Yeah.
And I just love it. I've had four pairs of those shoes in the last 5 years or something like that.
I had a pair as well. I do like the shoe, but I was at some point kind of over them. But I can definitely see why it's like similar to, for some people, how an Air Force One is such a classic shoe and they can wear it all the time, a white pair. That's probably what the Stan Smith is to use. So I can definitely see that. I just personally, at some point, was over them. But it's still, it's so simple but sleek and like timeless design. You can always wear that with anything, any type of clothing.
Exactly. But I think nowadays those timeless designs are just like low-key, aren't exactly what's created for by the market. Yeah. People want to stand out.
But yeah, but most of the timeless designs always have to be somewhat low-key. And because if you go too far in certain directions, then at some point it will just be outdated.
But you don't know that, man. You know, like, before you know it, ASAP Rocky is wearing crazy outdated like astronaut suits, and then in a year, you know, people are wearing it on runways and stuff. You never know. If Virgil Abloh, designer of Off-White Louis Vuitton, comes out with a collection based on astronaut suits, I can guarantee you they'll become a trend where people start wearing astronauts.
But it's a trend, yes, for a certain time, and at some point they will stop wearing them. How long have Stan Smiths now been around and so many people are wearing them?
Yeah, it's true.
For years.
That's true.
And they've not stopped. Like, I think that I can imagine they're still making good sales on those shoes because, as you, there's people who still love that shoe, appreciate the design, and just wear them every day, and it fits with everything.
That's a fact.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Make sure to follow, like. Damn, I still
can't do it. Follow.
First and foremost, thank you for listening, tuning into this week's episode.
Hope you liked it. Hope you enjoyed.
Hope you like it. Stick around for the next episode. Thank you for your time.
And maybe give us a follow.
Give us a follow.
If you listen on Spotify or exactly. anything like that.
Share it with your friends.
Definitely. And Check out our Instagram. We'll plug it next time. We're figuring it out at the moment, but by next episode you should have our Instagram.
You're gonna have to bear with us, guys. Like, we're figuring this out as we go, right? It's not gonna be perfect. This is also another thing.
Learning by doing.
People just like, they expect as soon as you start something new, it's got to be at the top. No way it's going to be at the top. We're just starting. We're at the bottom, bro. Even our like quality isn't the best of the best, but bro, we're going to get there. And we're going to work our way to the top. You just got to bear with us. If you see the potential, stick around, you know what I'm
saying? Work our way to the top.
Exactly. And we'll be at the top. We'll definitely reward the OGs.
For sure.
Hopefully. All right, bet. Cool, cool. Take it easy, guys.
See ya.
Peace.